Now, at this point, it was just pure luck that Tolkien survived. Two of his three best friends were dead by several weeks into World War I, and the devastation that he saw was just tremendously horrible, and it influenced him for the rest of his life. But Tolkien never became the kind of stereotypical burnt-out case coming out of World War I. He was never hospitalized, he never had panic disorder, he never went crazy. In fact, his regiment did very well. They actually defeated the Germans and broke through the lines, and the field marshals went to them and said, boy, if I had a whole bunch of other regiments like yours, we would have already won this war. So for Tolkien, the war wasn't completely the experience of horror and failure that it was to other people. This is very important about how he thinks about war later on. It was horrifying. The trenches were revolting. His most beloved friends were killed. And he himself came down with trench fever to the point where he nearly died and had to be shipped back to England and hospitalized for, I think it's 18 months, so for greater than a year. But he did get to be with Edith there. And then when the war was over, he was able to go back and start working in Oxford. And he worked for the Oxford English Dictionary. And J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the definition of the word walrus. If you go to the Oxford English Dictionary today and look up walrus, you're reading Tolkien's words. Because the Oxford English Dictionary had gotten to W by the time he started working on it. Tolkien spent a couple years working for the dictionary, and he claimed later that those years were the best training he ever had in languages, because he had to discover the etymology and the ancestry in multiple languages of all these different words that he was studying, most of which began with W, and including wasp and wain and my favorite, walrus. Tolkien also was preparing for an academic post by working at the dictionary, not so much by applying, but by making connections among the important people at Oxford. And when an opening came up at Leeds University in the north of England, he was given the professorship, and he went north to Leeds. There, he met E.V. Gordon, who was Tolkien's best collaborator, but who tragically died quite young. Tolkien and Gordon did an edition of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, the great Middle English poem, that became the standard edition for over 50 years. Gawain and the Green Knight is very different from the Middle English of Chaucer. It's northern, and it's exotic, and it has a lot of close connections both to Old Norse and to Old English. It sounds a little bit like this. Some wheeler with wormes he wears, and with wolves, alas. Some wheeler with wadwals that warned in the Knarres, both with bulles and bears in Boris other wheeler, and etanes thought him analeda of the hia fela. So you can see there's a difference between that Middle English and Chaucer's Middle English. Tolkien and Gordon were very successful collaborating, and as seems to always be the case in Tolkien's life, when he was doing a lot of academic work, he also wrote a lot of literature. He started writing very long poems, one in alliterating half-lines called The Tale of the Children of Húrin, and another one in octosyllabic rhyming couplets about Beren and Lúthien. And these two poems form the real heart of the Silmarillion mythology, which is going to be the background to all the stuff he did in The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien had been at Leeds for a few years and had been very successful, at least he thought so, and so did his colleagues, at integrating Lit and Lang, when in 1925 the Rawlinson-Bosworth Professorship of Anglo-Saxon opened up at Oxford. Now this is the most prestigious professorship in Old English anywhere. Tolkien was very young to be applying for it, and in fact, his old tutor, Kenneth Syson, was in line for the job. But Tolkien applied anyway, and it ended up being a tie between Tolkien and Syson, between the electors who would be elected. The chairman broke the tie and decided to choose the younger man, Tolkien. And so at a very young age, Tolkien had a lifetime appointment to his beloved Oxford, studying Anglo-Saxon and Middle English. Tolkien then moved his family back to Oxford and settled in there and became very successful as a professor. And there he met C.S. Lewis. And the two of them had a very long-standing, great friendship, almost a collaboration, though they created no joint works together. But they would meet at the Eagle and Child pub with a group of other like-minded writers and critics, and they would read each other's work to each other. And out of that group of people, which is called the Inklings, grew The Lord of the Rings and The Chronicles of Narnia and many other works besides. However, there were other influences on Tolkien besides Lewis, and the most important of those was possibly his own family. The audience for Tolkien's stories were his sons and later his daughter when she was born. And one of those stories that Tolkien first told to them sitting in his study became his first popularly successful work, The Hobbit, which is the subject of the next lecture.
This ends Lecture 3.